My pleasure. My pleasure. I have been praying with you as I've had moments within the hours to just stop and say, okay, Lord, there's a group of people praying and I'm entering into the prayer meeting. So I haven't been able to connect with you all until now, but I've been looking for this opportunity to join with you. I would say that God's evident working has been among us, and I think it's directly in response to our praying, seeking His face. I've had opportunity to talk with several students today about the work of God in their hearts, and so God is stirring, particularly in this theme of people lifting their eyes and getting off the temporal and looking on the harvest fields that He is whiting unto harvest. And so I wanted to share a passage of scripture that somehow seems to me, by the time we get to the end of Paul's great gospel treatise at the end of the book of Romans, we tend to miss. There's two things about scripture that we often miss. We blur through the introduction because we think we know what that's going to say. You know, it's going to be grace and peace, and how we ever take that for granted, I don't know. But we do that because we want to get, and then we get to the end of a book and we do the same thing. And often we miss the incredible truth in a doxology. But I want to look just for a few moments at Romans 16, 25 to 27. Paul writing there says, "Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret from long ages, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen." And even as I challenge us this hour with a couple of truths from these verses, I hope just reading them swells your heart. That the gospel is a God thing. The work that He has done and the work that He is doing is just incredible. And I hope even as our conference is focusing particularly on lifting our eyes and looking on the fields, or cultivating our heart for the harvest, that we're reminded that we just have an invitation into a work that God Himself is doing. God didn't say, "Now look, I came, I died on the cross, I'm out of here, and you guys see if you can get this done." This is God's work that He is doing in this age, and He gives us the joy of entering in with Him into that work. But two things I wanted us to see as we look at this passage of scriptures. First of all, the opportunity for gospel advance. And notice he starts out with what I'll come back to, but now to him who is able. But notice what he's able to do. He's able to strengthen you according to my gospel. There's this assumption that this isn't going to be easy. And the opportunity is marked, first of all, that there is difficulty. And if we determine whether or not we're going to do something by whether or not it's difficult, most of the things in life that are worth doing will never do. You think about it. Most of the things in life that are worth our effort are things that are going to be fraught with difficulty. Those who have been married any length of time, I hope, would say, "My goodness, is marriage worth it? Like, I can't imagine my life without it." But those same people would say that it's not easy. It's transforming. It is humbling. It calls me to submit myself every day. It asks me for sacrifice. But it is worth it. And that is true of most things in life. And friends, I would say to us that being engaged in gospel advance for the glory of God, if we determine whether or not we're going to be involved based upon the difficulty, we'll never seize the opportunity. But notice with that difficulty that there's also darkness. Notice that he says here, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. But now we enter God. Verse 26, but has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings or the scriptures has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. God has given us the scriptures. And God himself here has given the command, the eternal God, that through the working of the gospel, he can bring about the obedience of faith. And so while it's difficult and there is darkness, we walk into that challenge, not having to figure out a way to light some little fire, or even this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine as though that's the only light. The reality is I'm being invited to add my little light to God's eternal light that he has pierced and shattered the darkness with. And so we could look at it and say, man, gospel work is so hard. Gospel work is so challenging. People don't want to listen. And God tells us that's all true. But then he says, I am the eternal God and I've shattered that darkness. And so we see difficulty, but we must see that there is opportunity. That this is what God himself is doing, and he is bringing about the obedience of faith. That he is the one that's calling lost people to himself. That he is the one that is overcoming doubt and disbelief. And that we have an opportunity just through the sharing of his word to unleash the power of the gospel that is able to convert men, because it's something the eternal God himself is doing. And then that leads us, I think, to the thought that I want to challenge us with in this hour of prayer. And that is, now he says, now to him who is able, and he ends in verse 27 by saying this, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. And not just is there opportunity for gospel advance, but I want us to see the object of our praise for gospel advance. I think the greatest motivation for gospel advance is that we actually recognize that this is something God is doing and we praise him for it, rather than wondering whether it will be done, rather than wondering if it can be done, that we say we serve a God. He is here named as the eternal God. He is named as the wise God. He is named as the able God in this passage of scripture. And all of those things are answering the folly of the Greeks and this faux strength of the Romans. And he is a God that actually is ultimately able, and he is ultimately wise, and he is the eternal God. And he is going to accomplish his purposes through gospel advance for his own glory. And so I think if we start by saying, God, you are going to advance your gospel. God, you are going to convert the nations. And God, I am going to start on gospel endeavor because this is something you are going to do. Everybody loves to cheer for a winning team. Everybody does. For years and years and years and years and years, I had absolutely no problems wearing my New England Patriots jersey. It was a little tougher this year because I didn't necessarily want to have those conversations. Do you know what, friends? We never have to have a conversation with anybody about our God and the gospel in a losing season. God never loses. And while we may not see it in our corner of the harvest field, the gospel is advancing according to God's plan and at God's pace throughout his world for his glory. And if we start by rightly praising him, we will start doing gospel advance with eagerness because we're functioning on a winning team. And so I'd like to focus our prayer for this hour on praising God for what he is doing. In our conference, we mentioned and prayed this morning for the country of Yemen. This afternoon, I got testimony from somebody who's preparing to go to the country who is connected to people in the country, sharing with me actual testimonies of people who have come to faith recently. The gospel's advancing in Yemen, and God is answering prayer. And so even as we think about what we call closed countries, they're not closed to God. Gospel work is happening there. And so I want us to praise God as we pray for allowing us to be on a winning team. And may it stir our hearts with eagerness for gospel advance.